To Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, if you have your Bibles, you may have to look up here because I'm going to be reading the white and you're going to be reading the yellow. Are you ready? All right. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, submitting to one another. Thank you. Now, we've been talking about being filled with the Spirit, like it says, and I just want you to look up there with the arrows. I want to remind you again that Paul gives us a language edge so we can see what's happening here, and I'm hoping that this will burn into your brain before we're through. I'm going to say it enough times, it'll burn in, that every one of those ing words are called participles, okay, and they all have to be done, or each one of those have to be done in order to be filled. It's not the result of being filled, but it's how you get filled, okay? And so we get filled by speaking to one another in hymns and songs, in spiritual songs, and then singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And when we do that, by doing that, we're filled. And then by giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are filled. By submitting to one another in the fear of God, we are filled. And so we could actually put by in there, and that would be probably a proper translation, by speaking, by singing, by making melody, by giving thanks, and by submitting. And so we want to look at the results of that again, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. All right, and if you go to the next slide, thank you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Remember, that's a long patience, kindness, goodness, which is generosity, generousness, faithfulness, trust, gentleness, not being harsh. I don't know how to put it in a positive. I was trying to figure out a way to say it positive, but it just means not being harsh. And self-control, the ability to control your decisions and thoughts and so on. Against such, there is no law. So this morning, I want to explore our giving thanks for all things, having a heart of thanksgiving, an attitude of thanksgiving. In fact, we as Christians, all the way to the point of having a knee-jerk reaction of thanksgiving in everything, all things. And that's the ultimate attitude, isn't it? For us to have that thankful heart. And so he says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. That's right. You know, how many times have you asked yourself, okay, what's the will of God for my life? Right? Or is it just me? Okay, you guys are a little, you know, I realize it's a little thin because we have a lot of ladies out, so you're going to have to give me a little more today, okay? All right, okay. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, for whom? You. Okay. It isn't just a good thing to do, thanks, and have a thanksgiving heart and a thankful heart. It's the will of God. You know, back in, I was reading this article in 1929, back in the Great Depression, a group of ministers that went to Boston Theological Seminary got together because of all the devastation of the fall of the market. And it was coming up on the Thanksgiving weekend, and they would talk to each other about, what are we going to do about the services? Things are bad. There's no sign of relief. The bread lines are depressingly long. The stock market has plummeted. And the term Great Depression sure seems a fitting description for the mood of the country. And the local ministers thought they should only lightly touch on the subject of Thanksgiving, because after all, there wasn't much to be thankful for. But one pastor out of the group, Dr. Steiger, rallied the group, and he said this: This is not the time to give mere passing mention to Thanksgiving, but just the opposite. This was the time for a nation to get matters in perspective and thank God for blessings always present, but perhaps suppressed due to intense hardship. You know, when I read that, I thought, well, you know, Dr. Steiger has a good thought, an important thought for us this morning. The most intense moments of thankfulness is not found in times of plenty. Do you realize that? In times of plenty, we take it for granted. But when difficulties surround us and we have this heightened awareness of how thankful we really are or maybe were. For example, when you get sick with the cold or flu, you ever been laying in bed and thinking, man, just a couple days ago I felt so good, and now I feel so bad? And so you can concentrate on the bad, but part of it is we thank God for good health, when we have good health. And maybe when you've sinned stupidly or foolishly in your life and you're repentant, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Okay. And so you're thinking, oh gosh, Lord, why did I do that? What are we thankful for? Thankful for his salvation, aren't we? We thankful for his forgiveness, his patience with us, his continued love in spite of our foolish actions. You know, my thoughts went to the pilgrims for their first Thanksgiving. And by the time they got to the place where they had their first Thanksgiving dinner, half of their number was already dead from illness and all kinds of diseases going on. They were men without a country, and still they were thankful to God for what they had. Their gratitude was not for something, but in something. Do you hear me this morning? Our problem is we keep thinking it's for something, right? Oh, thank you, God, for our house or for our job or for whatever it may be. But we're thankful in something. We're in Christ. Amen? Man, that's, you know, that gets to be a problem because I get fooled by that all the time. I'll be praying at my desk and I'll be thanking God. And then pretty soon all of a sudden I'm thanking him for stuff. I think, why am I thanking him for stuff? I mean, yeah, there's a place in that. But I'm thankful for our Father in heaven. And like I say, he loves us, he forgives us, he saves us. He has us in his hand. It's the same sense of gratitude that Abraham Lincoln had when he formally established the first Thanksgiving Day in the midst of a national civil war where the list of casualties was had no end to it and the very nation was under struggle to even survive, and he appoints a day of Thanksgiving. Think of the Apostle Paul for a minute, who told us to be thankful in all things, right? Let me just read this. And I put it in the New Living Translation, so it's a little more modern. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Understand in Roman law, 40 was death. They figured you were one lash from death, okay, five times. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a whole day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Boy, doesn't that sound like a job you want to have? And what's Paul's response? Thankfulness. You know, perhaps in your own life, you may be going through a time or an experience, some intense hardships. I know some of your hardships. I don't know other hardships. Maybe you're experiencing your own personal Great Depression or something similar to Paul's discouraging experience. In 2 Corinthians, after I read what I read in 1 Corinthians, he said, we were despairing even of life. Can you imagine getting to that spot in the ministry? You know, and for that reason, you may be asking, why should I be thankful? Why should I have a thanksgiving heart? You know, I believe we only have to look at the scriptures to answer that question. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:57 after saying that, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say some things, and I don't want to hurt feelings, okay? But being thankful isn't about health. I know some of you have hard health issues, but it isn't about health because we're all going to die, right? And being thankful isn't about aches and pains. We all have aches and pains. Some of us have major aches and pains. Some of us have minor aches and pains because we're in a fallen world. It isn't about everything going perfect. I know we get there, don't we? Somehow we get in our head that everything should be perfect. If it isn't, we've been mistreated. But God hasn't called us to a perfect world. He's called us to an imperfect world where we will suffer for his sake. Listen to Paul again. And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from whom? God. Listen. Like I say, I'm not trying to dismiss anybody's bodily problems. This world is a hard, hard place. And I believe Paul's saying thanksgiving has nothing to do with our circumstances but with our attitude. Our mental and emotional health is dependent upon being thankful. Because thankfulness, being thankful, fills us with the Spirit. Right? Isn't that what it says? Thanking God always for all things. So let's give thanks this morning by looking at what the apostle has to say in Ephesians again. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ because it fills us with the Spirit. And even in the worst times, the apostle Paul believed there was a reason to thank God. And none of us, I don't care who you are, you had not gone through what Paul went through. And he wants us to give thanks. And the question we have to ask is, why aren't we thankful in all things? And I want to tackle two reasons this morning. There's probably 20, but I want to just tackle two this morning. First is, we perceive that we have control in our life. Now, control in our life, you always know if you are struggling with the control issues because you're a griper. Right? Why do you gripe? Because it's not, you don't have the control. And if we have control in our life and we do all that we can do to control our destinies, then really we have no reason to be thankful to God. Right? We're thankful to us. But we have to admit that for the most part, life gets out of control, doesn't it? In fact, when you think about it, control is the kind of an illusion to us. We think we have control on our lives, but when we look back, life has controlled us. And yet God says he has provided our steps. I want to read some scriptures here that will make you think about this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way, the man. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And then we get to Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, don't we? Right? We just know where we're going to go from here and what we want to accomplish, but the Lord directs his steps. How many times in your life have you planned to do something when you look back it went entirely different and it was better? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You have very little control in this life other than to trust God in how he orders your steps in your circumstances. And we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful that Almighty God orders our steps, right? And all those things you think you're creating, you are really not creating. The second area I want to talk about is bitterness and resentment. You know, our men's group, our men's team, leadership team, the men's group went up to Estes Park and we had a real good time, a good retreat. And we actually worked through Ephesians 5, 18 through 21 and kind of did what it said. And it was, guys, I know a few, wasn't it fun? It was just a blast. I mean, we just, man, I mean, we actually cut it short because we're so full. I mean, it was just so wonderful. And when we got to the Thanksgiving part, we listed three things that, we listed five things that we were thankful for, and then we listed three things we weren't thankful for, okay? And we discussed them. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of one thing right now that you're not thankful for in your life, okay? Write it down on the bulletin or keep it in your heart, whatever you want. But what is one thing in your life that you're like, you know, Lord, I can't thank you for this, right? Because it's too tough or whatever it may be or that person. And so write it down, and that one biggie that steals your thankful heart, because that's what it does, right? Bitterness and resentment steals your thankful heart. And think, what is it or who is it that is robbing you of the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have that issue in mind? Everybody got something in mind? Okay. A lot of you are looking down, so I'm assuming you're either asleep or you don't want to admit it. Okay. Maybe it's a death. Unfair death. Maybe it's a relative. We always have those hard to live with relatives, don't we? Maybe it's a circumstance that wasn't fair. Maybe it was a hurtful relationship. Maybe a marriage or maybe a divorce. Or that person that has just made your life miserable. And you know what? Maybe you are exactly right. The way you see it may be very clear and very right, which only makes it worse because you see it and they don't. And you see it so clearly in your assessment of the situation that you have become self-righteous. And let me make this point here. Maybe it's not so much that you can't give thanks for whatever the situation is, but maybe it's that you're bitter. Someone or something, and they've stole your peace, right? They've taken away your peace, and you're not experiencing all those different fruits of the Spirit. And so let me take it one step farther, because this is the thing that we talked about at this group. Could it be that you're actually angry with God? Maybe the God who didn't meet your expectations, your control expectations. And so you think he's not listening. You think maybe he's rejecting you. Is your expectation that God is harming or making you suffer? Or he's not letting things be fair and you see the other people go along and they're doing what they're doing, but you're the one that's kind of set out to the side? Boy, bitterness is a bummer, isn't it? Man, I can remember in my life going through one period where I was bitter, and I finally got to a place I felt like bitterness was wrapped around my organs in my chest. It was so bad, and I couldn't get rid of it. I had to pray it out and ask God for healing because it was so bad. But you know, the Bible demonstrates that we're going to have all these things. I want to read from 2 Timothy 3, starting with 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which have happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. So he's only naming three cities where he's had all this problem. You know, here's the thing that we might want to look at is when we are bitter, when we feel like we're out of control, when we're struggling with all those things, can you look at Paul's life? Or can you look at Christ's life? Or can you look at Peter's life? Or James' life? And they suffered. They all died. They all were persecuted and killed for their faith. Now, that's the Bible that we read, is that we're going to suffer. And so he says all these things, and he says, what persecutions I have endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and some who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Is that what it says? No, I misquoted it. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Man, we've got to find the clarity in the Word of God, don't we? In order to be thankful, no matter what state we're in, bitterness is dangerous, my friends, and it's deadly. And it kills off every one of the fruits of the Spirit in your life. When you continue to hold on to it so you can be right. And the problem is, just like I said, it becomes self-righteousness. So here's my question this morning. Will you consider forgiveness? Will you consider forgiving those people or those situations or whatever your expectations of God were, which he probably didn't promise? Will you consider forgiveness? Because if you can't give up the control and you can't give up the bitterness, you're going to lose love, and you're going to lose joy, and you're going to lose peace, and you're going to lose patience, and you're going to lose kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. They're all going to disappear out of your life while you wrestle with those things, because it will rob you of every one of those things. But most of all, it'll rob you of your heart of gratitude, your thanksgiving. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, because he fills our hearts up when we do it. So I want to go to prayer, and while I'm praying, I would like to ask you, that situation, that person, whatever it may be, would you be willing today to ask forgiveness in your life for holding it? Even if you were right, 100% right, would you be willing to ask for that forgiveness? And if you're really struggling hard, I'll be up here afterwards and I'll help you pray through it, whatever that may be. Father, we come this morning. Lord, Obviously, you know, you're looking at 7 billion hearts at the moment. We're only looking at our own. And Lord, we have those people in our life, or we have those situations in our life, and they're not great, and they're hard, and they gnaw at us. And pretty soon, Lord, it's just hard not to be bitter. We don't want to be bitter, but it's hard not to be bitter. And so, Lord, this morning we ask for forgiveness. Will you help us dismiss the resentment in our heart? Will you help us to come to the place that we can let it go out of our life and just mark it up as the past, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to the high calling, as Paul says.